Hey guys, welcome to the Cloud Computing Weekly Podcast, your one-stop for news, information, and expert advice around the emerging world of cloud computing. This podcast is brought to you by Cloud Technology Partners in partnership with our host, TechTarget. And my name is Dave Lintica. I'm Cloud Computing SME, author, speaker, B-List Geek, and with the firm Cloud Technology Partners. And joining me today, introduce yourself.
Ofir Nachmani.
Ofir Nachmani. I just figured I'd destroy that.
Now you say it's okay. Hi, how are you
today? Good. He's a cloud blogger and speaker at I Am On Demand, IOD, which is a research and content creation agency who consults cloud development and big data ISVs, and their experts help companies understand their position in the market, working with them to execute their cloud content strategy. So tell us a bit about yourself and how you kind of came about to starting I Am On Demand and your background and how you kind of discovered the world of cloud computing.
Yeah, actually, it's an interesting story. I started a company about more than 10 years ago. It was a startup company that did management of workforce, cable companies, even smaller companies. And it was, we were a very small company startup, and we were based, we were hosted on Rackspace. All the servers were in Rackspace. And in 2008, we were acquired, and part of that was to find a new way to decrease the costs. And there was Amazon. So, I struggled with Amazon, and I learned Amazon, by hands this year. And from this point on, I tried to help people within the company that acquired the startup to learn what it means Amazon, what it means the cloud, and help them to understand that cloud is not just an evolution of their, enterprise data center. It's an actual revolution, in how and why they are used, they need to use it. I think I had 10 years of blogging and explaining and consulting with companies that thought about why I need to move my server to Amazon, which is definitely not, we know today that definitely not the case. That's it basically.
Yeah, we were messing around with cloud at the time as well. I started my own consulting firm. I was actually working with Mike Cabas, who's a colleague now, and we were trying to figure it out, like 2007, 2008 time frame. And man, you're all by yourself when you're doing that. It's not a lot of research and not a lot of places to reach out to. And even when I was CTO of Grand Central, like 2003, 2004. People just weren't understanding the whole on-demand argument. I mean, Salesforce was being successful at the time, and I said, well, let's take what Salesforce does and let's expand it to infrastructure such as integration, such as middleware and databases and things like that. And that was just kind of a foreign concept to everybody, and now everybody's kind of come around. So it's either we did a good job or not so good a job, depending on how fast everybody's kind of believing into the new world. What do you think?
Exactly, but when I pushed companies and I said on demand or cloud is on demand, and you need to take the thing on demand. You're not buying right now your box for your life, and eventually people in Israel, I'm coming from Israel, from Tel Aviv, from the startup scene, the nation, and people started to call me Fear on Demand, and then I opened the blog and I said what will be the name of the blog, and it was just in a moment I found it, it was I Am On Demand. When I said I'm a cloud evangelist in conferences abroad, people told me, so you are a cloud rabbi. So yeah, it comes to the point where as a Jewish guy, this is what they came up to say. But it's funny, but eventually it comes to a serious world where we need to change the culture, need to change the state of mind. When there was a time where Amazon didn't want to, to tag their instance. Why? Because an instance, it's a temporary resource. It comes and goes. But eventually, with the need of the enterprise, they did that. Up until today, I don't understand why we need that. Okay, because the base is that this atomic unit that is called an instance, it's something that comes and goes. And this was the base that I came with, and I tried to explain the world what it means the cloud. So. Yes, I'm still, we are 10 years afterwards, and I'm still doing the same thing. In some cases, I'm still talking with CIOs and explaining them this basic, simple fact.
Well, you got a lot of work ahead of you, because this is something I do every day, and As much as we do it at Cloud Technology Partners, it doesn't seem to be making a dent. So we're talking to press, talking to companies, but now corporate America is kind of coming around. Most of them have cloud initiatives. They're big consumers of Amazon and Google and Microsoft, and they're starting to think differently in terms of expanding their IT infrastructure, and they're stopping the automatic building of data centers, which I think is a great stride. So saving money, becoming more agile, the ability to kind of do more with less, the ability to expand their business on demand, so we can go ahead and make things happen and move into new lines of business, and all these sort of business drivers are really being understood now, and I think at the board level, which is really kind of changing the nature of it. In fact, we'll talk about the growth of the public cloud market according to Gartner. So anyway, last month we announced the first print edition of the Doppler Report, a flagship cloud computing news and best practice publication. It's a 50-plus page exclusive content, including articles with Avid CIO Jonathan Thomas and Rob Alexander, the CIO of Capital One. And I think we're going to have some of those guys on the podcast coming up pretty soon. So visit cloudtp.com/Doppler, enter your mailing information, and we'll send you a copy free of charge. So go ahead and write that down. So the first topic is something we hear a lot about over and over again, but I thought it was kind of a good angle, the way that Gartner explained how the public cloud market was expected to hit $204 billion in 2016. So that's not 2018, 2019, that's this year. And this is an article by Sharon Golden, who's writes for Computer World. The worldwide market for public cloud systems is projected to hit $204 billion this year, a 16.5% increase over the $175 billion market in 2015, according to analyst firm Gartner. So here we go again with the predictions that cloud is exploding. I think those are all in numbers, because it's absolutely huge and immense right now. But, what's your take on, kind of the explosive growth in cloud computing? 16.5%, I mean, that's pretty big. You're on your growth of an emerging market, many which said emerged several years ago, but it doesn't look like the growing stopped anytime soon.
Yeah, it comes upon, someone that doesn't really do the job, right? If you're looking at VMware, there was some kind of announcement that they are going to release, unfortunately, 900 people, 80 in Israel. It comes to the point where HP and Rackspace are, taking a step back, and Amazon let them introduce their stuff on the reInvent, AWS reInvent conference, the AWS annual conference, because they are not competitors anymore. And you see traditional vendors, that cannot cope with this tremendous change. And this is because, I wrote about it in the past. This is because they don't have the DNA, the financial DNA, maybe we'll call it, as Amazon have. They can scale. They know how to optimize their margins. I'm not saying that the margins are very low, like their claim. I think that they are pretty nice, but they are still, they know how to manage, a very scalable business, while others do not. And besides that, it's not just the scalability, it's also the option to deliver, to the mass. And this is where it comes to the point where, it's changing operational perspective from the vendor side. It's changing the financials, of course. It's changing a lot of things, within the organization, between the cloud vendor. And, eventually, when you're looking at HP or looking at VMware, they are not web-scale organizations. If you're looking at Amazon or looking at Google, this is where you find them. So for them, it's just natural to go this, towards this way. Now, if you're looking at Google or Microsoft, then there is a change between, difference between them and Amazon. And it's not surprising that Amazon is leading the market, because, again, Amazon knows how to serve or deliver to the mass, while Google, doing the search engine very well, while Microsoft, delivering the licenses very well. But this is where I see the difference, lots of differences between what Amazon is doing and all the others.
Yeah, you're right. While there is solid growth showing across the public cloud services, Gartner noted that the highest growth this year is coming from infrastructure as a service, or IaaS, which is expected to have a 38.4% growth in 2016. The analyst's firm forecasts that the infrastructure as a service market could reach $22.4 billion by the end of this year. And I guess most of that's going to be in Amazon's hands, correct?
Yeah. Amazon ended 2015 with 7.5. So, you know, if they will come up to be 10 or, you know, 12 at the end of 2016, then, you know, they still take more than 50% of the market, which is, you know, makes sense. They are heading the market. They are doing, you know, their innovation pace is just amazing. You know, we are looking at different, you know, different types of things. Like, for example, you know, we're looking at the capability of putting an SSL on a load balancer in Azure, which is not a capability. It's something that you need to, you know, walk around to do that. When you're seeing on Amazon, you know, they give it as part of their capabilities. You know, you just draw your command line and you will get, you know, your SSL. You don't even need to register that. It's a new feature that just released by Amazon a week ago. This is making a very big difference when it comes to the enterprises, which is the, you know, the market when you're talking about IT.
So cloud application services, or SaaS, are also expected to show an upswing with 20.3% year-on-year growth, reaching $37.7 billion. Cloud management and security services with 24.7% growth, and cloud application infrastructure services, known as PaaS, also strong this year at 21.1% growth. So just seeing growth across the board, and kind of SaaS, you know, it's the oldest, you know, sector in the cloud computing world. If you think of when Salesforce came around and even some of the early, you know, application delivery networks that we had in the late 90s, it's still showing, you know, great growth. I mean, back, you know, 15 years ago, I think it was tracking 2,000 SaaS companies. It wasn't called cloud, basically applications on demand, but, you know, people realize that it's easier to consume these expensive enterprise systems and expensive enterprise databases, you know, as a service over the network. So good news overall. So what do you think the struggles are going to be next year, and what do you think the opportunities are going to be next year for the Global 2000?
So, you know, it's range between, you know, the next year will be enterprise. You know, Salesforce, you know, they known as an enterprise service provider, but when you're going to, you know, more smaller vendors, they're getting traction by these enterprises. You know, they, you know, companies, big magazines, big integrators, they're not fear to try new services, although they might be not, you know, not robust enough for their services, they still, you know, put some effort and some investment in trying this new software as a service solutions. When you're talking about, specifically when you're talking about, you know, developers oriented products, then you go into the IT world of enterprise, and they actually put on the side in, you know, funds just to try these new services, to try new things that goes with DevOps, you know, to try the things that goes with security, and some of them you will find that actually even doing one step forward and investing in small startups just to make sure that these startups grows according to what they will need in the future. You see several, you know, companies like there is a company called Cyber Reason, which is a security company that was funded by a large airplane manufacturer, and it was because, you know, they saw some initiative there that they want to try. So it's not just about, you know, the Salesforce and the software, you know, Workday, the large software service, the known ones, but it also comes to the point where the enterprise need to recognize the small ones and they already do that. And I think it will accelerate very much over the next few years.
Yeah, and it's going to be accelerating fairly quickly. In fact, it's going to be accelerating despite some new accounting rules that came down. And we both discussed the fact that we were probably more unqualified to comment on financial stuff. But I think it's important for the sector that we understand this stuff is occurring right now. So an article by John Dix of Network World, will the new accounting rules slow adoption of cloud computing? The Financial Accounting Standard Board, FASB. I haven't heard of that before. Have you?
Not No, it's the first time I heard this.
Well, it's affecting cloud. So it changed a rule in December that will make it harder to capitalize the cost of cloud setup and implementation expense, a change that encouraged some enterprises to opt instead for traditional on-premise software. So the accounting standard update, basically intangibles, goodwill, and others, internal use of software subtopic, whatever the hell that means. And while the update didn't set out to address how to account for cloud migration costs, the new rules combined with the FASB's decision not to provide additional guidance on the accounting on accounting upfront costs, which means enterprises shops can no longer depreciate some of the fees involved with cloud migration. So what all this means is a bunch of accounting gobbledygook that it's going to decrease the TCO, total cost of ownership, as you know, people are looking to move into cloud, and it's a big deal. So if companies pay a ton of taxes, and they're always looking to minimize taxes, and one of the things that cloud computing was providing is, in essence, the way to minimize taxes, as well as all the other benefits you get, agility and on-demand cost efficiency, things like that. And it looks like the accounting rules are catching up with them. And I think the tax rules are as well. There's a lot of jurisdictions that are, you know, looking and figuring out new ways to tax cloud computing, because while they can tax purchasing software and hardware, they're confused at how to tax information technology that's being delivered as a service, you know, over the open internet. So as geeks, should we be worried about this? Is this going to slow down things some, or is this going to just kind of confuse the market?
You know, it's already confusing me because I'm not kind of on the financial market, but I understand, you know, I understand where both sides are coming from, and both, you know, the tax authorities and the actual users. But eventually it comes to the point where it costs is not the only measure, right? You know, for success, they also, you know, the flexibility and the ROI that you get on top of using this cloud, you know, this is where it comes to the point where you want to use it or not. Eventually it comes, you need to think about, you know, what brings the cloud into the organization. In some cases you will find, you know, we see it's bottom-up adoption. It's purely shadow IT, right? People are using that, putting their own credit cards even, and afterwards says to their IT department, guys, we already use that, we are using that, please, you know, do whatever you need with that, but, you know, solve the financial issues here, because we want to use it. So it doesn't, you know, when it comes to the practical side of things, you know, cloud will not decrease, as we talked about, you know, from the other article that you mentioned. You know, cloud will continue on growing, and things in the enterprise will change, and eventually the authorities will need to maybe some way need, you know, will need to listen to the crowd and accommodate. Although, you know, if you're looking at their claims, you know, it makes sense. There is no depreciation. It's a services. It's a pure services. The only fact that I read in this article is about the thing that, you know, the upfront cost or the integration cost of the service. This is where it comes to be tricky, right? I need lots of funds to build or to integrate with this service, with this software service. Or I need to maybe even buy up, you know, to commit to Amazon or to Azure to buy reserved instances, and eventually this is not something that they recognize as a, you know, capital the time spending. So this is where it comes to the point where things becomes not really understandable. But I hope that, you know, the authorities will. We'll go along and hear the crowd, right?
Yeah, and I think it's also going to be kind of an international issue as well, because if you're taxing the United States, and this looks like it's the United States rule, then why don't you do the migration overseas? If there's tax benefits of doing that, and you can find the talent or even run your systems overseas. It's just a lot of complexities that kind of come into this, and very much like the tax code's been there forever. If we're going to, you know, invest in technology, the way in which we depreciate that, and it looks like they're just taking away the depreciation on the capitalized costs of migrating into the cloud. And to your point, I don't think it's going to stop cloud migration. It's just going to remove some of the benefits of migrating to cloud. But I think whether you go by this thing affects you or not, I think that the taxation of cloud-based services is something that's a foregone conclusion, at least in the United States. The states are looking at it now and actually taxing cloud in many instances. And I think that the cloud providers are going to be fighting a lot of that. The thing is, it's different because, you know, if you're taxing things as a service, you're not really taxing a tangible asset. You're not really taxing a piece of hardware you bought or a piece of software that you bought that, you know, showed up on a DVD. And to me, it seems like something that's almost going to be very difficult to regulate, if not impossible to regulate. Companies are going to have to, you know, start accounting for the consumption of cloud services in some manner of measurement. And it just becomes, you know, the government impeding the movement in the cloud when they should be promoting the movement in the cloud because of the, you know, the green benefits and the cost benefits and the benefits on the economy. Anyway, final words on this?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I think that, you know, with regards to the measurement, there are tools, and, you know, in the cloud is even more important because when you are buying a server, it is there and that's it, you know. But if you are buying today 1,000 servers and tomorrow only 800, because this is how the cloud works, then you need to be able to measure that. So there, inherently the cloud comes with you know, tools inside it and you know, capabilities inside it, and as well as ecosystem partners that gives the, you know, the wrappers around, you know, how you use it, how you utilize that, what is your inventory right now and what was yesterday and what is the forecast. So with regards to the measuring specifically for infrastructure, regards to the measuring, this will be even more you know, it's not simple but more clear when it comes to the cloud. I'm talking about, you know, a few years from now, not right now, but and we're evolving to that. So in order to be able to measure, you know, how much I used, what I used, these things will you know, vendors will enable that. So once this will be in place, maybe the tax authorities will be able to, you know, to do some change in their decision. And yes, it's not a tangible asset, but still, you know, there is some kind of, again, the upfront cost, or there is a capital expense when you go to the cloud. It's not just an operational expense. This is where it comes to the point where, you know, they will need to listen about the operational, the ongoing expense. I think that I will agree with them. It's a service. It's a pure service. But this is from my you know, my own opinion.
Well, enough of this topic and financial stuff. It confuses me as well. So we'll move on to more technical stuff. So anyway, please pick up a copy of my book, Cloud Computing and SOA Convergence, which you can find in softback on Amazon as well as on the Kindle. And check out my blog on InfoWorld. And don't forget to go to www.cloudtp.com for current news. Links to this podcast and other podcasts, by the way, and more ways to contact us directly. And don't forget about John Baer's book on Kubernetes and Mike Kavis's book on Architecting the Cloud. Those are great reads out there. Go ahead and download those, or buy a paperback copy if you're getting nostalgic. So also, please make sure to support our host. So excuse me, on Twitter, you can catch me at David Linthicum, LINTHICUM. So Esther, where can we find you on the web and your company and all your stuff you do and where you post and all that kind of stuff?
Just search for I Am On Demand, you know, one word, maybe in Twitter, I Am On Demand, or my blog, IamOnDemand.com, and, you know, just reach me out and I'll be happy to help.
Check them out. It's got some good stuff out there. Also, please make sure to support our host, TechTarget. Make sure to read my content there, as well as some great research, reporting, and events. Please go to searchcloudcomputing.techtarget.com. So until next time, best of luck in building your cloud computing solutions. We'll be back next week. You guys take good care. Bye-bye.